me, please, for our second reading to 1 Samuel chapter 22. First Samuel chapter 22, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, Let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. And the prophet Gad said unto David, Abide not in the hold, depart, and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Hareth. When Saul heard that David was discovered, and the men that were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, Hear now, you Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds? That all of you have conspired against me, and there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you that is sorry for me or showeth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day? Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech, the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests that were in Nob. And they came, all of them, to the king. And Saul said, Hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, Here I am, my lord. And Saul said unto him, Why have ye conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as at this day? Excuse me. Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, And who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me, let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father, for thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more. And the king said, Thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, Turn, and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled, and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord. And the king said to Doeg, Turn thou and fall upon the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. And Nob, the city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen and asses and sheep, with the edge of the sword. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life. But with me thou shalt be in safeguard. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. Let us not read this passage of Scripture as a mere story or legend. This is an actual historical event when a man rose up and killed 85 priests. Let us not think that serving the Lord in that capacity or any other capacity has in the history of our religion, which extends back all the way to the Garden of Eden, by the way, that means that we will be safe. Sadly, in many cases, it is meant that we will not be safe through the centuries. So, what do we have here then in this passage? The first thing we have is David's care for the things of God. Let me just put it that way first. Notice that David, first of all, recognized we have come to the point in David's life now where he has recognized that there is no reconciliation with Saul. He must flee. He has to get out of town. There is, like he told Jonathan in the last readings, there is but one step between me and death. Your father seeks my life, and there's no getting around it. And so David now flees from the face of Saul. This is after the arrangement that Jonathan and David had made that if Saul is really seeking your life, I'll shoot the arrow over here. You remember all of that. So David is now assured of what's happening, and so he flees. And he goes to the cave of Adullam. First of all, I want you to understand that David's flight is not a cowardly thing to do. It is actually the honorable thing to do. David has been told by the prophet of God that he will be king. This might have incited a lesser man to confront Saul, slay him, and take the kingdom. This is the honorable thing to do. David is not pursuing a bloodthirsty course of accession to the throne. He's going to await the timing of the Lord. This is honorable. Secondly, when he goes to the cave of Adullam, note who comes to him. 400 men, miscreants and misfits all. So we have not the cream of the crop, not the best of the land coming to David, but like a greater son of David that will indeed rise up 1,000 years from this day, it will be the publicans and the sinners that come to him. So also the refuse of the people come to David, and they know they will have mercy and a hearing from him. And so where are they? They're in a cave, except for a brief excursion out of that cave. And so we note also David's honorableness, not only concerning his own life and not only concerning Saul's life, but the life of his parents as well. David is a fifth commandment man, and so he understands what it means to honor his parents. And so applying the fifth commandment to his own situation, he goes and fetches his parents and he takes them out of Israel to the land of Moab so that they might be protected by the Moabites. I hope you see the irony in that. That David has to take his own family out of his own country where he will be king and places them under the hand of a sworn enemy of Israel to keep them safe. And so we see that David is also a type of Christ in that he subdues his enemies to himself, does he not? So then, David, having taken care of his mother and his father, not only so that their lives will be spared, but so that they can't be used as leverage against him, David returns to what's called the hold, that is, the cave. Now, as we have seen so many times throughout the book of 1 Samuel, we have yet another contrast. This is something that we're supposed to notice. David is in a cave. Saul, however, is under a tree in the shade, surrounded by his servants and people that wait upon him. David, content in a cave, Saul, discontented underneath a tree and whining before those that are attending him and saying, "You know, you sons of Benjamin, none of you will tell me that my son Jonathan is in league with David. You're all keeping secrets from me." You just almost see his lip sticking out, can't you? Not only that, but he goes on to speak about, well, he's got his javelin in his hand. And he goes on to speak about how that he is poor and deprived, and there's that no one loves him anymore. So we see Saul's complaint. We see also that he is going to bribe those people to be his friends. You sons of Benjamin that are gathered around me, let me ask you this. Will David give you houses and vineyards? Because I will. And can we just say that if we want to just bring this passage up into our own day, please beware of people who want to be your leaders by buying favor. Buying favor is a terrible way to lead. We should desire rulers that will lead in righteousness and tell us the hard things. Not so for Saul. Saul is into bribery to get people to follow him. And so Saul gathers the Benjamites around him. Remember that that's his tribe. And so he is surrounding himself with all things comfortable. David, by way of contrast, is in a cave with the refuse of the land. Forced to take his family to a sworn enemy, the king of Moab, to protect them. All right, so then notice that everybody keeps quiet around Saul. Of course, Saul has showed himself to be unstable enough that no one really wants to speak up. Speaking up in front of Saul was, in some cases, to paint a target on yourself, right? So everybody's quiet, except for Doeg, the Edomite. As an Edomite, remember also that he is somewhat of an enemy. Although Jacob and Esau were brothers, they parted ways when Jacob came back to the land of promise, never to marry up again in friendship. As a matter of fact, several places in Scripture we see the Edomites rising up against the Israelites. And so Doeg answers and says, "Oh, well, I saw David. I saw him. And you know what? The high priest gave him help and comfort, gave him food and a sword." Now, does Doeg tell the whole story? No. Does Saul get the whole story? No. What does Saul do immediately upon hearing this intel from Doeg? He's incensed against the high priest. What should he have been thinking? He should have been thinking, this is God's high priest. Surely my expectation of him would be to do what is right. Now, it's arguable that maybe that is exactly what Saul thought. But Saul is not a friend of what is right. Saul is a friend, at this point, of what will advance his own estate, even if it's wrong. And so, he calls up Ahimelech, Abiathar, and all the rest of the household. And he asks him, he doesn't ask him. He conducts an interview of accusation with him. And when Ahimelech gives his defense that he did not know that David was an enemy of the house of Saul at this point, Saul refuses to believe him. He's already been whipped up by the statement of Doeg. And so we have David tender toward those miscontents that came to him. We have Saul stirred up unjustly against God's high priest. You see the contrast again. And so Saul turns to his young men, one of those Benjamites that he promised houses and fields to, one of his servants, and he says, "Gird on your sword and slay these priests." And those young men are to be commended for taking their own lives in their hands and saying to the king, "No, no." Because remember, there is no absolute authority in any earthly authorities. All authority comes from God, and any authority that commands you to sin is no longer an authority in that command. Saul, is Saul still king? Yes. Does he still have authority? Yes. Has he commanded something that is sinful? Yes. And so in that he is not to be obeyed. And so those men are to be commended for standing up to the king and taking their own lives in their hands that day. Oh, but Doeg, a bloodthirsty man, no doubt thinking to himself, well, I'm not a Benjamite, but I'll bet you I can get a house and a vineyard and a field if I can wend my way into Saul's favor. And so he throws his lot in with the wickedness of King Saul, girds on his sword, and kills 85 priests that wore the linen ephod. And then, not content there, their wives, their children, their babies, their ox, their oxen, their cattle, their small cattle, everything that pertained to them. Rightly then do we understand of Doeg to be one of the most wicked men of his day, and Saul especially, for commanding, sanctioning, approving, and rewarding such activity. This is indeed one of the most wicked acts you'll ever see in Scripture. Not the most wicked. Obviously, the murder of Christ is more wicked. But this is one of the most wicked acts you'll see in Scripture. This is one of those very difficult passages. And so, we come to the end of the chapter, and once again, there's a huge contrast between David and Saul. So, Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, the son of Abiathar. I'm sorry, Abiathar is the one who escapes. There's too many A's. It's hard to keep them all straight sometimes. Ahitub is the granddad. Ahimelech is the father. And then Abiathar is the son, the grandson and son. And he escapes and he flees after David. He is now the high priest because Ahimelech is dead. He's been killed by Doeg. He escaped and he found David. And he told David everything that Saul had done and Doeg had done. What does David say? Oh, those wicked men, those such and so's. Not even close. Not even close. David says, you know what? I saw Doeg there that day. And I knew that he would give intelligence to Saul. I have occasioned the death of these men. Do you remember when we were in the passage and we saw David's behavior before Ahimelech and we said, David is lying here and he ought not to have done that? David is bringing down that judgment upon his own head, his own part in what took place that day. He didn't tell Ahimelech that he was fleeing from Saul. He said rather that he was on an errand from Saul. He didn't tell him that he was under Saul's bullseye. He said he was under Saul's command. And so when David hears of the death of those priests, he does not minimize his own sin and maximize theirs. He doesn't even mention theirs. And he brings home his own iniquity upon his head. I have occasioned the death of those men. Not only is David in stark contrast to King Saul, David is in stark contrast to many, isn't he? Is it not our natural bent to maximize our good, to minimize our evil, to maximize the other's evil, to have so freely flowing out of our mouths, in our speech, accusation against others, instead of bringing those guns home upon our own head? David here is a righteous example of humility and one certainly to be followed. Thus ends the reading then of 1 Samuel chapter 22.